The following is a sermon from Pastor David Salinas of Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
And when it comes to the Advent and Christmas songs that the Holy Spirit himself composed and inspired people like Mary, like Simeon, like the angels over Bethlehem to sing, that is true, I mean, a million times. And so Pastor Tim and I, this Advent and Christmas season, are especially excited. In our preaching, we are going to try really hard to get the songs of the season stuck in our heads. And our aim is this. Our aim is that we take the edges of our hearts and shake out all the folds, and all of those hills and ridges, lower them, and all of those creases, those valleys, raise them up to create this nice, silky, smooth red carpet for our King to march down and to celebrate his coming with skipping, singing hearts. And today, we're going to start off our new year right. We are. In Advent, there is one hymn that rises to the top, as we have already seen this morning in our worship. If I was to ask you, give me one carol, one hymn for Advent, you would say, O come, Emmanuel. But do you know where that comes from, that hymn? Do you know what inspires it? It is inspired by the lyrical names of the Messiah that are sown throughout the prophet Isaiah, like beautiful, shiny sequins. They're called the O Antiphons. And today, we are going to look at a rendition of O come Emmanuel, like you have never heard before, because it is a rendition composed by the Holy Spirit himself, as he has sown these very special lyrical names, the O Antiphons, on the parchment that really forms the very last word that he has to tell us. But to get us started, to get us in that frame of mind to see this, I want you to see something that I just learned this week. It's really, really cool. The picture on your in your worship folders, I want you to look at it with me, please, for a second here. There you have a graphic of the O Antiphons. And the first letter of the names of the Messiah in reverse order form an acronym. So let's spell this thing out, okay? Let's start with Emmanuel at the very bottom there. So let's give me an E, right? For Emmanuel, God with us. Next, give me an R for Rex Gentium, King of the Nations. And then give me an O, Oriens, the bright morning star, the sun. Then give me a C for Clavis David, the key of David. And then another R for Radix Jesse, the root of Jesse. Adonai, an A for Lord. Sapientia for wisdom. A-E, R, O, C, R, A, S. What does that spell? Arrowcross. And what is that? A loosely translated version of Latin is this. I will be there, or I am coming tomorrow. And you know what? He very well could. What does that mean for us right now? That's what this sermon is about. Revelation chapter 22. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophet, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in the scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the ones who do right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates of the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come, veni. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. So it's been 30 years. Been 30 years, 8th grade, St. Paul's First Lutheran, North Hollywood, California. One of our favorite teachers, Mr. Paul Denuser, leaves the class for some unknown reason. And he is away for a very long time. It seems like forever. And you know what happens when the cat is away. Man, oh man, did these mice ever play. And the boys are chasing each other all across the room, and they're punching each other on the arms and in the chest. Not me, of course, right? Yeah. And the girls are on top of the desks, and they're dancing, and they're yapping away, and they're some of them are egging us to keep going, others are yelling us to stop, and the yap fest is just going louder and louder, and we are as loud and out of control as you can imagine 30, 14-year-olds are, right? Oh, my goodness, we needed a parent, did we not? Oh, yeah. Fortunately for us, because we would have been in such big trouble, somebody in the class happened to glance out of that little rectangular window and saw Mr. D coming back and just instantly yelled, he's coming! Mr. D's coming! And that image that you have in your mind right now, that's about right. Like 30, 14-year-olds with the wide-eyed, like, emojis, you know, that stare. And then instantly, had we been cartoons, you would have seen those plumes of smoke, and the desks are just instantly shaped up, and we're all sitting down and batting our eyes like little angels just as he walks in the door. And so it is. The coming, the imminent return and appearing of a beloved and respected authority produces an instantaneous and profound impact on our behavior, on our little eighth grade lives. And isn't that really what the season of Advent is all about in a nutshell? He's coming. That is the message. That is the very definition of the term Advent. And it's this, it's amazing. It's like almost with this breathless urgency. You get the sense that Jesus, who inspired John, and John is now like he's writing these last final words that are gonna close out the Word of God. And it's almost like John is panting as his quill is racing across the parchment. And it's like Jesus has sent John to be our classroom lookout. He's coming, says John, he's coming. Jesus, at the very end of his word, preaches a holy trinity of end times theology. And so, verse 7, I am coming soon. And verse 12, I am coming soon. And what's not printed here, but the second to last verse in the entire Bible says, guess what? I am coming soon. And my question for you and for me is, what is our immediate and profound reflex of faith in the light of that truth? How is Jesus' imminent coming to impact us immediately and profoundly? Well, there's many ways, but I think maybe the very first way is this, that the instant reflex of faith of the believing heart should be immediate encouragement. In fact, that's the number one reason that the Lord Jesus drew open the curtain of time and space and revealed to his bride here on earth how things really are now and how they will be forever in the future. Remember when Revelation was written. It was written at a time when the Christian church was under fire, heavy fire, for refusing to call Caesar Lord. And the Romans were persecuting the church, brutally martyring them for not worshiping Caesar, the king, for reserving that worship and that title Lord to the one and only King and Lord that there is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church of Christ is enduring nerve pain of being nailed to her own cross, the punishment inflicted by the world for her fierce devotion to her Savior. And any of you who has ever had an abscessed tooth or nerve pain or any type of severe gastrointestinal pain, you know that pain of that level is two things. It is absolute misery and it is an eternity. And the one thing that you want most of all is for that pain to end. And you writhe and you wriggle and you try and find some way to get comfortable, but you can't. And the one desperate thing in your heart is, I've got to get some relief. Have mercy. That's the context of where Revelation, this is the book when it was written, because it was written to a man, shown to a man who was being exiled on the island of Patmos, a hot, barren island of exile for his faith in Jesus. And the one thing that the Church of Christ needs in an environment like that is the encouragement to continue hanging on to Jesus for dear life until he in his perfect wisdom ends the pain. And so the Lord Jesus sends this angel and opens the curtain for John. And Jesus, by that, takes his curled index finger and lifts up his bride's droopy, sad, teary head and shows him the home that he has prepared for her with his sweat, blood, and tears. A home where every floorboard and every shingle is just filled with the glory of God and sprays its beauty all across the new heavens and the new earth. A home where there is no more death and there is no more mourning and there is no more crying and there is no more pain. No more pain. No more sinning. No more dying. No more falsehood. Only holiness. Only glory. Only beauty. Only, are you ready for this? Only Jesus. And a heart that hears, I am coming soon to take you there. Instantaneously, a brave heart. So the instant reflex of faith of Advent, I am coming soon, is instant encouragement. You know what else is? Instant worship. When the angel draws close that curtain of time and space, and the apostle John sits there and contemplates what he has just seen. The Ancient of Days, the Most Holy God, seated on his throne with that rainbow of glory haloed over the throne. When he sees that blood-stained lamb previously sacrificed, but presently alive, holding the scroll of time and history in his mouth. When John sees the bride of Christ walking down the aisle of the universe, drop dead gorgeous in the wedding dress of her husband's own righteousness, what is John's instant reaction? What is his knee-jerk response to that? Verse 8, I fell down to worship. Worship. So instantaneous, so instinctual, so next step is this desire to worship that John even does something that he knew better. He falls down in worship before the feet of the angel. And the angel chides him, but not for the act of worship, just simply for the object. The angel just takes John, who's on the ground prostrated, and he just redirects the angle, kind of like maybe your servants here would redirect the angle. Worship God. But of course, when the bride of Christ hears, I went to the cross to prepare a place for you. And if I went there, I am coming back to this home of beauty that I have prepared just for you. When the bride of Christ hears that, what else is her instant reaction? But, oh my man is coming soon. I got to get all gussied up. Do these shoes look good? I got to go. Get me to church. ASAP. Get me to church so that I can adorn myself in repentance and faith through the hearing of the word. And then once the bride of Christ is here, what does she do? She worships. She worships the Lord with all of her might, with all of her heart. Worthy are you who was slain, who now reign for me. So, perseverance and praise, two instantaneous responses to the message, I am coming soon. Now, there are others, but I want to briefly point out two more. Ready? Here they come. Immediate proclamation and immediate love. In the first pages of the Bible, here's a trivia question for you. After God finishes creation, and after he rests on the seventh day, what is the next action that we see God doing in Scripture? He's what? After creation. He's running. He's chasing who? Yeah, he's chasing his wayward bride who has just rebelled against him and is hiding in the bushes. And he's earnestly calling to her, come, where are you? Come, veni, veni, I will forgive you. Fast forward to the very last page of the Bible. What is God doing? The very same thing. He is furiously, he is fervently, he is earnestly calling out to all, come, veni, come to me through the gospel of his son. And so Jesus has the angel tell John to lift a prohibition that had been placed on the prophet Daniel in his end times vision in the Old Testament. In Daniel, we hear that after Daniel sees this, the vision of the end times, that he is to roll up the scroll and seal it. But now, until the appointed time. Well, guess what? That appointed time is now. And so what does Jesus tell the angel to tell John? Pop open the cork. Do not seal it. Go out and you preach and you sing Christ Jesus as far and as wide as your little offerings and your little means that I've got, all the means that I've given you can take you. And because the bride sees that every Sunday that comes is one more degree of the sun setting, and soon will fall the night of judgment when no one can work, she immediately loves. She loves one another. They love one another because the bride of Christ knows that by this all people will know that we are Christ's disciples. She loves the people around us in our society because the bride knows that by these acts of love, we can creak open doors to bring people in. And then the bride of Christ immediately proclaims and preaches her Savior with all of the vigor and all of the talents that he has given to her. Immediate proclamation, immediate love, immediate encouragement, immediate worship. I am coming soon. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do we live our lives like the acronym AeroCross that I just taught you? I'll be there tomorrow. And today is our last day. It's time to sing a sad song. Yes and no. With all of the passage of time and all of the tears that we've shed and all of the mornings that have come and gone and all of the chaos in our lives and our families and all of the sinning that we do sometimes in our heads and we can't get that out, and all of those horrible crimes that we hear and see on the news, like Chris Watts from Colorado, who, it's still, I can't wrap my mind around it, strangles his own wife and girls. I can't get my mind around that. Sometimes it feels like Jesus' promise is more of a fairy tale. And so our courage is diluted with fear and anxiety. And our hope is marred with gloom and doom. My mother, who was prone to depression and anxiety, once asked me in one of her bouts, David, is heaven real? After so many Sundays come and go, and we've done this many times, sometimes the instinct for immediate worship becomes intermittent worship and impatient worship. And even though we in our hearts should feel like wild horses couldn't keep me away from coming to church, wild horses couldn't keep me away because I just got to gussy myself up and look gorgeous and beautiful for my man through repentance and faith and the hearing of his word. Sometimes getting here is like pulling teeth. It really is. And sometimes, instead of being lost in the worship of the glory of God as we stare at the face of Christ in word and sacraments, sometimes we're just checked out as we stare at the face of our watch, wondering not when Jesus is coming, but when the amen is. And it's because of the busyness of our lives sometimes, because things just keep rolling along, sometimes that immediate proclamation and immediate love, they kind of get old. And offerings can level off and become stale. And the love that we have for one another, as we get to know one another and familiarity starts to breed contempt, and we start seeing all the warts that we have with one another, and all of a sudden, the love is bland and lukewarm. Praise be to Jesus, however, there is a song. There is a song to take away all of those blues, the blues of our lackadaisical lives and the incongruity, the opposite, the contrariness of our confession with the way that we actually live. Did you know that every time we sing, as the Church of Christ, we always sing a duet? We always sing a duet. Do you know why? Because our man, our Lord, our Savior, he is a singing God. It is true. Just like the bride, the groom is not just a preacher and a teacher. He's a singer. And I want you now to listen with those open ears to the sweet melody that the Lord Jesus, the Word made flesh, sings to you from the bottom of his boundless heart, a melody composed and based off of the lyrical names for him that the Holy Spirit sowed like sequence into these very last verses and words of Scripture. Here they come, and let them lift you to the seventh heaven. I am sapientia, wisdom, trustworthy, and true. I come from the mouth of the Most High, and with my word, I create mightily and order mightily all things. Even your hearts, your faith. And I am coming soon. I am the Lord God, Adonai, and I have heard your cries in your misery, cries for mercy, cries for freedom, cries for forgiveness. And I am your Moses. I am your liberator. And with my mighty outstretched arms in love, I come to lead you out of the land of slavery into the promised land. And I am coming soon. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am the eternal Holy Trinity, worthy of your most fervent worship. And I have cleansed all of your past. And I watch over every moment of your present. And I guide every second of your future. And I am coming soon. I am the root and the offspring and the key of David. I rule over all nations, over all things, and over all history, including your personal story. And I have the key that shuts lock the mouth of your guilt and of hell, and that opens your grave and the door of heaven. And I am coming soon. I am Oriens, the bright morning star, the light of your life. And with my light, I disperse the gloom of your sin. And with my healing rays, I heal your broken hearts. And I raise your bodies from the dust. And you will frolic around my throne like happy sheep, happy and healthy forever and ever and ever. And I am coming soon for you. Let that lyrical song, sung to you by the Word who became flesh, the Word who comes in word, in wine, in water, the Word who is coming at the end of time. And may the instant reflex of your heart be immediate encouragement, an immediate worship, an immediate proclamation, an immediate love. And may your heart immediately sing the carol of Advent. Veni, veni, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.